I just got this now, sorry. So it looks like we're in Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1. Made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that, in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 3:14 is next. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. And Ephesians 4, verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This ends the readings.
I'd like to invite the kids to come down. How many of you helped pray today?
Five.
Did you, not five, no. How many of you helped people pray today? How many of you laid your hands on somebody? Can you stand up? Stand up. Can we get in a circle? Can we get in a circle right here? Right here, good. Right here, good. Yeah, I'll be very careful. I'll hold it right here so it doesn't hurt it. Can you take her hand too? All right, what I wanted you guys to learn today is when the big people pray, God also listens to you. Did you hear me tell your mommy or daddy that if you wanted to put your hand on the person next to you? Did you hear me say that? Yeah, yeah. Did you hear me say that? All right, here's what I want you to remember. When God wants you to pray for someone, you go right ahead and do it, all right? Even if you're very little. Even if you're little. Ready? I want you to think about praying for the person next to you. You ready? Join me. Here we go. Dear Jesus, say it. Dear Jesus, bless this person. Watch over them. Help them. Even though I'm little, I know you listen to all my prayers. Help me to love people and be thankful for mom and dad. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Very good.
I don't have a dad.
Well, we will pray. You know who gets to be your dad then? God does. You belong to the Heavenly Father. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. All right. Here's what I want you to remember. If I ever do that in the service again, and I say, put your arm on the shoulder of the person next to you, even if your dad's holding you like this, all right, and there's somebody tall enough, she's standing next to you, here's what I want you to do. Put your hand on her shoulder, because I want you to remember, even if you're small, you can pray for other people. Can you remember that for me? Good. You get to sit down. Thanks, honey. And I have a treat for you. You can pick either red or gold. Go. I'm laying it down. Just make sure you get the one Dad wants. Because if you get the wrong one, yeah, two for Mom. Yes, I know. Thank you, guys. So how hard it is for me to bend over. Huh? Beginning of the year, I have my students fill out a little sheet I call "The Church Is Not a Building," and it's "You're the Church." And in the sheet I have, I ask different questions, and I put down what's one thing you hope this religion class will do for you, or what are some questions in your life that you just really hope God would answer for you. And I got quite a few. Not a ton, but enough to make it stand out enough in my head. Quite a few responses. I want to know what my purpose in life is. I want to know why I'm here. I want to know what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, when you're a junior in high school, I can't remember that far back, but some of you can. When you're a junior in high school, that's a heavy-duty question. And you're pulled in multiple directions, and many of them are not very appealing. And many of them will drag you straight to hell. And so it's no small task to sort through all the voices shouting at you when you're a junior in high school and answer that question. But I've learned over the years that it doesn't matter. Even as you grow older, there's voices shouting at you in different directions. And the challenge is sometimes just as difficult. And so that purpose in life. And I was thinking as I was studying and looking at certain sections, this little section in Ephesians that I asked you to look at, you know, starting in chapter 2, and wanted to focus primarily on that last verse in chapter 2, or last verse in that reading, chapter 2, verse 10. It's by grace you've been saved, and you read that in 8, and in 9, not by works, and then verse 10. We are God's manufactured product. We are God's creative visible, what he created. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There is not one man, woman, or child in this place that does not have purpose and meaning to their life. I always like to say, and you've heard me say it before, if God wanted you, he'd take you. Obviously, he doesn't want you. And then someone sarcastically responds, I wouldn't either, you know. But the reality is that there is purpose even in the difficult time you're in, even in the struggle you're in, even if your purpose is in the middle of a situation that feels like your life is closing down, or feels like you don't have enough opportunities, there is purpose in everything that you're dealing with. Every part of your life, God is aware of and is ministering in you and with you and through you. And it's not you, or it's not someone else in that spot, but it's you because of something he needs you to learn, understand, or minister to. This young lady took time out of her day, called me in the middle of the day, Pastor Harmon, God told me to call. That's obedience that steps outside the parameters of what we're normally doing. That kind of faithfulness to God is necessary across the board. And it's just, it doesn't have to manifest for me. It has to manifest for the people that we come in contact with. It has to manifest for all those around us. And I was listening to Catholic radio. You ever listen to it? I like it. Not all of it. I mean, I don't pray the rosary or anything. Women and men were calling in and giving testimonies about little witnesses, opportunities to witness that they had. Lady calls up and she says, well, this may sound a little strange, but whenever I go at a checkout place and I notice the lady behind the counter, man behind the counter is in a really hurt, down, frustrated mood. She says, I always reach over and pick a nice, great, big, good candy bar from over in the thing, and I set it down there. I said, oh, I forgot this. And then they charge me for it, and I pay for it, and I start to walk out, and the lady goes, oh, you forgot your candy bar. And I say, oh, no, that's for you. I want you to have a good day. And I smiled in my brain and said, is it a Snickers? she didn't say. But I thought, what a moment. What a simple moment, right? Here's this lady going, I'm gonna put out this little gift and just smile at this person. I'm going to say, God loves you, you know? And I'm going to do that. And I think she even shared that too. God loves you, and I want you to have a good day. And she finished it off like that. But here I am, and I'm going, oh, what a simple, gracious thing to do in the life of an individual. And so I looked at this section. It says, you are God's workmanship. You are the manifestation of God in your life with all of the inconsistencies that we all possess. It isn't that we're always reflecting God perfectly, but we are and have this assurance, this very truth, that we have been fabricated, put together, created by God, and the person that we are, with the struggles that we have, with the hospital visits we've had to make, with the sufferings we've had to go through, with the lies that we've been told, with the deceptive guys or girls we've dated, with the pain we've created, circumstance after circumstance after circumstance, God is bringing our life together, and it all comes together with purpose and meaning. God can take your worst moment, your most shaming moment, your most painful moment, and he will bring it into a ministry, into a healing, into a work for your child, your son, your daughter, your friend, your neighbor, where suddenly other people may be wanting to be judgmental of this person, and you go, if God can save me, God can save that person, and you walk up, and you make a difference in their life. And you don't understand the power of one lady walking out going, God bless you, have a great day, it's for you. All right, that moment, even if it's a candy bar she doesn't like, the blessing has come. Somebody actually noticed and cared and stepped into the situation. You have been created to accomplish purposes of God. And granted, some of you may become the next Billy Graham or whatever you want to picture as a large figure for God. But please understand, the candy bar in the checkout lane is just as significant. The one individual she saves, the one individual she touches, may be just enough to touch that person and make them go, I need to go back to church. I think I've been missing something. I want to be around people that know how to love like that. I want to be around people that actually care. You know, you have no idea that little moment, that time or that touch, whatever it is. Why am I asking my little ones in this church to put their hand on people? Because I want them to know their prayers matter. I want them to grab grandma or grandpa or the hand of somebody and just say, God bless you. I want them to have that sense, just like I keep being reminded, thanks to Dave, we got that 3-second rule. Buy the candy bar. Or like Jeff, I use that testimony. Jeff gave a testimony once where God tapped him and he started to drive away, turned around and came back and redid the just like God had told him and still blessed the socks off the person. And he said, I have to do this. I have to do this. And he began to understand. He goes, that's what you have to recognize is the uniqueness of the individual you are. God doesn't care if you wear glasses or not, whether you're young or old, whether you're good looking or not so good looking anymore. God doesn't really worry about any of those things. You understand? When somebody walks up and just think of that simple deed, here's a candy bar just for you. I just have a great day. Thank you for checking me out. God bless you. Just something That's the power of God's Spirit working in the smallest of the details of our lives and the circumstances that we can't imagine. God is calling his people to be the manifestation of this. He said, I have works for you to do. He didn't say when you get to be six. I have works for you to do. That's why I made you. So when you're two and you put your hand on a person, God bless you, Grandma, don't cry. God bless you, Grandma. God, I pray for you. You understand? And everyone has a story like that, right? Some story that you just go, holy cow, my little one, my child asked this question or made this point or something else like that. That's the concept that I want you to own and really understand in here. So it goes, we are God's created workmanship. We've been fabricated and our lives have been put together. And even though we haven't exactly gone each of the places God wanted us to, I was supposed to go right and do this thing. I went left and did that thing. God pulled me back, straightened me out. That God works with that. God is not quitting on me. He is fabricating my life to take those moments of strengths and weaknesses and use them in Christ Jesus to do good works. Do good works. This is not a question of God, do good works so you can earn heaven or salvation. That's why they stick right above it there. It is by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. The author Paul does not want you to make any mistake about that. But he asks the question, God has come into your life so that you can manifest the quality and character of God to your husband. Thank you for being my husband. When you say that, ladies, you said it lately? Thank you for being my son. Thank you for being my daughter. I'm not sure what the phrase has to be. I bet God could quicken it in your heart if you just give him a moment. Thank you for being understanding. I once heard a preacher talk about, he says, you know, when we go out in the narthex and everybody starts talking about their husbands and wives, he said, my wife and I, he goes, we're shocked. The kind of things. The husband would be standing right there and the wife just goes, well, he comes to church, but he's not full of the Spirit or anything, you know. And he goes, holy cow, you know, what are you doing here? He said, and he looked at this congregation and he said, listen, you guys, find something you can pray for and compliment your husband or your wife on. And he goes, if your husband is the best getter-upper in the world, you just praise him for that every opportunity you get. You know, you get up better at 10 o'clock in the morning than anybody else I know. Well, what do you think? 5 was the time it had to be? You know, some husbands are 10 o'clockers or 11 o'clockers or whatever. And he goes, just find something to bless them with. And what his point was, is you have this ability with your tongue, your words, your behaviors to build or tear down, to lift up or tear apart. And you miss those opportunities. And those are just the opportunities that someone may need to hear. Have a candy bar. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. That's all. God bless you. You understand? That willingness allows God to reach into your circumstances and make what you consider a small event. I just shared, you know, a little event in my life with my girl from France. She's New York. But I go, that has just blessed my life so immensely. Just because she was obedient. Just because she cared enough. Just because she answered yes to the Holy Spirit. And I haven't talked to her probably in 2 or 3, 4 years. Don't think she does this all the time. This is a God moment. Pray for that old guy. And, you know, and then to be blessed by just the power of what God was doing. So God has prepared them beforehand. Second verse, Ephesians 3:14. And for this reason, I kneel before the Father. I was praying the other day, and I was just kind of emptying my heart before the Lord, and I had some people praying with me. And a lady next to me, well, I had my eyes closed, didn't even know it. The lady next to me stood up, laid flat on the floor, put her face on the ground, and was praising God. And I opened my eyes. And middle of the prayer, in the middle of the praise, just and God says, "That's where I want you. That's where I want you." I was thinking, there's a passage that talks about healing, and it's a healing that certain individuals did. I just want to read in one in 1 Kings. When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar where he had been kneeling with his hands spread. Psalm 95:6, "Come now, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Creator." Peter, Acts 9:40. He sent them all from the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes. Seeing Peter, she sat up. And even Jesus in Luke 22. Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. There is a change in our countenance. There is a change in our sense of presence. I made you touch each other today. That changed that moment of communication and that prayer differently than if you wouldn't have. There is a change when you're sitting in a seat and the person next to you is laying on the ground and God speaks to your heart without any judgment, without any condemnation, but just speaks to your heart. And he says, "Just learn, Bruce, just learn." And I'm going, if Christ himself praying to the Father kneels, maybe it's time when we pray for healing to get on our knees. Instead of laying hands on the head, lay hands on a kneecap. Because God is the healer. You're not. The power is never in, you know, this big person. It's the little ones. That's why I said to the little kids, I go, "Do not misunderstand how important your prayers are and how valuable you are." And so this positioning before God, this awareness, "Lord, make me humble as I reach out and do the works you're calling me to do." If Peter can get on his knees, or even as it says, that phrase, "Before me every knee will bow and every tongue will confess," it has to mean something. And I don't think it's God looking for this mechanical positioning of ourselves. I think you've all seen the football players take a knee. All right? Take a knee. Why? Because there's a processing that takes place in your heart. Take a knee. Who are you talking to? Take a knee. It's you, Lord, isn't it? Yes. Am I angry at you that I want you to take a knee? Am I looking for that mechanical thing? No. I want you to take that knee so that your heart is set right. So the person you're praying for in that particular circumstance understands how much you're really longing for the power of God to bless their lives. Take a knee. So the first one, called to do good work. Second point, in verse 14, I take my knee. And I thought, oh, Lord. And as you get older, your knees go bad. So I start using that excuse. And I go, the person next to me was a lot older than I am and didn't stop at the knees. Went all the way down, flat face on the ground before the altar of God. You want to guess what God was teaching me about my knees? And I go, oh, Lord, without a word, God is just speaking to my spirit, my heart. Last verse. You look up there. It's Ephesians 4, verse 12. Ephesians 4, verse 12. I'm going to start at 11 so you can understand context. It was He, God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And then verse 12, the one I want to focus on, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's our purpose. If I can walk away going, I taught a little child to lay hand on someone and pray, it's been a good day. You understand? What's the purpose? The purpose is to bring the body where it needs to be. God has not invited me to bash someone because they've been walking in the wrong direction or destroy the very work He's doing. God says, I have given you whatever gifts that I've poured into you so that it says here, to prepare God's people for His works of service. The church does not and is not centered on me. It's centered on your work of service. It's centered on that little old lady who looks at that lady behind the counter or that man behind the counter and says, I'll take that big candy bar. Would you put that there? God bless you. It's for you. You understand? You got flowers in your hand? Put them down and say, hey, these are for you. Who knows what you can do? Who knows what a moment can be in your life, how God can use the very power you do have, not what you don't have, but the very power you do have. God isn't asking you if you're broke to spend $100. He's not asking you if you're too little to drive somebody. But He is asking you to pray for someone. He is asking you to put your arm around someone. He is asking you to care. He's asking you to share your lunch. He's asking you to do the very thing that you're talking about. Listening to that same radio station, a guy goes, I was in a situation where someone needed $5,000 to rent the venue where they were going to have a kind of a prayer praise session. And they were going to charge the people as a result $15 a piece to get in. And he said, God moved on my heart, and I handed him a $5,000 check. I said, here. He said, let's just bring them in. Let's see what God wants to do. And they opened the venue up and filled the place with people that wanted to praise the Lord. And he said, he was talking about that in another situation and how good God was. And he said, I was with my mother, and he said, I don't normally do this, but I was taking my mother out to supper at her favorite restaurant, which unfortunately is in a casino. So this was not a gambling sermon. And he goes, I had a buck in my pocket. I walked past this machine that takes a buck. I put the buck in. I said, Mom, I'm going to just take a shot. Pulled the thing down. Guess how much he won? $5,000. Which he proceeded to give away a couple days later. I can't remember that part of the story, and I apologize. And he was talking, he's just preaching to the people, and he's going, do you understand what God does when you just set Him free to bless your life? And he goes, and he said, you know, a man raised his hand, and he said, let me get this straight. You gave that group that much money, and then you got it back. Do I got that right? Yeah. And then this other person had this need, and you gave them that much money again, right? It seems to me you're out, you know, that much money. And he goes, it just doesn't seem like it's quite finished yet. And he got up and walked up and handed the guy a check, put it in his hand. He said, here's $5,000. Keep it up. Do you understand? The heart of God is so much different, so much bigger, so much more powerful. And it's those moments where you taste it that you start to understand. Prepare you for works of service. Why? Not so you're all right, God, I'll do that too. We have a Bible study that we're showing the men called not a fan but a follower kind of a thing. And there's a story about a young daughter in there that just blessed my heart because her father was moved to go start a home or a special place that feeds the poor and things like that. And he asked his daughter, would she be willing to come work? And so she came and worked, and she was just having fits with this one young lady in the place where that she was feeding him. And his dad looks at her and he says, what's her name? She says, I don't know her name, but every time I go out there, she just treats me like I'm her slave or her servant. I can't stand it. She's throwing pots and pans in the kitchen, having a fit. And dad says, you don't know her name? No. He said, I want you to go home. Well, why do you want me to go home? I said, why are you working here? Because you asked me to work here, and isn't this what Christians are supposed to do? And he said, no. He said, that's what I'm supposed to do. He said, but until you understand what this is really all about, you're in the wrong spot. And then he goes, you know, she goes, well, what's it all about? Kind of a phrase like that. If I'm getting this wrong, guys, straighten me out. If I'm getting it wrong. Or she goes, it's about love. And she throws up her arms in disgust and she walks out. She walks around for a little while. And finally she comes back in the place. She says, Dad, I want to come back to work. You sure? I want to come back to work. And she goes, is that girl here? And he says, yeah. She walks out there and she sits down and she says, I am so very sorry for treating you and talking to you the way I did. And she apologized to the girl and she said, would you please forgive me? And the girl answers, yes. And in that moment, they became friends. And in this situation, this young lady needs the blessing of this other girl, and together they find the purpose and the calling of God in their lives. And so the challenge of God is not, did you give money? The challenge is, are you loving people? The challenge is, are you doing it the right way? You mean, I can change a diaper in love? Yes. You don't have to be in love with the diaper. I can go shopping with my husband or wife in love? Yes. I can listen to someone who likes to talk and talk and talk and talk. If you have not love, you're useless. And that movie in that particular moment just shouted, you know, it isn't what you're doing. Pastor said, I got to buy a stinking candy bar. There's a candy bar. Now I got a testimony. No, I go, I have to kneel down because Pastor preached a sermon about kneeling. I go, no. Preached a sermon about laying flat on the ground, not about kneeling. But you understand? That's the point where God goes, I have called you. You're mine. I have treasured you. You belong to me and I belong to you. And I want to bless your life. I want to manifest these gifts to you to prepare you for works of service so the body of Christ can be built up until each one of us reaches the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God and becomes mature, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of God. Golly, God wants me to grow up. No, he wants you to be full of his presence. What do you mean? You haven't got enough love yet. You got okay joy. I want to double it. I'm going to triple it this week. What are you going to do? I'm going to have the little French girl call you out of nowhere and bless your socks off. How'd that do for your joy? Oh, God, that was so cool. Thank you. He says, I got more. You understand? I got more. Pray with me. Lord God, don't let us miss what you've got for your people. Don't let us fail to understand how gently and lovingly you build your church through the body and move across the face of this earth through the body. And that this is our time, Lord, our moment in time. Come and bless us so that our lives are filled with the testimonies of candy bars and the miracle of giving away more than we possibly could ask or imagine. And receiving, Lord, beyond anything we could comprehend from directions that we couldn't possibly return the gift. Lord, you have so much love for your people, so much desire for your church, so much strength that goes unused, so much power that you want in our lives. Come and bless each person in this fellowship today, Lord. Minister their needs, and I pray this all in your name. God's people say, amen. Amen. As the offering is received, if you're a guest or a visitor, please do not feel in any way obligated to put anything in. We just thank God you're here and that you're our guest. And if you need some, take it out. It doesn't belong to us anyway. And if you need more, let us know. We'll do what we can for you.
Praise unbroken, praise unending, be yours forevermore. Praise untamed.